Welcome, and thank you for standing by. I would like to remind all participants that the conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to our first speaker, Ms. Stephanie Bagot. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the first session in 2011's RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. The topic today is what's new in RTC and Jazz 3.0. First off, my name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for RTC and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Kartik Kanakasabasan. Kartik has over 18 years of software development experience and has worked in various capacities throughout his career, ranging from development to technical sales, consulting services, and product management. He has published several white papers and patents that have helped customers see value in adopting Rational solutions. He is currently the worldwide manager for the Jazz Jumpstart team. The Jumpstart is a customer-facing development organization that helps the adoption of Jazz products addressing technical inhibitors. We will be having a web conference today, and you can join by signing on to www.webdialogues.com/join, and the conference ID is 3133836. Again, that is webdialogues.com/join, conference ID 3133836. If you are unable to join in the web conference, please listen in on the phone. Kartik will be sharing his knowledge throughout the hour, but all the lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Kartik. Go ahead, Kartik.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. All right, so let's get started. And, you know, one of the things we're going to start off with, what's new in RTC 3.0, and why am I starting primarily is because it was the first product out that actually leveraged some of the capabilities of Jazz Foundation 3.0. So a lot of the things that RTC 3.0 provides as capabilities are actually some of the key fundamental pieces are actually coming in from the foundation, as it were. One of the first things that we're doing is we've actually simplified RTC 3.0. So unlike in the past, where you actually had different flavors of RTC for Z, for I, and then, you know, Z and Power, and then regular RTC for distributed, we've now just basically consolidated that into one offering, which is RTC 3.0. So, and the relevant licenses that you would need for these different platforms will probably vary. Now, the benefit of this basically is that customers deal with just one product line, or one, you know, when they acquire the product, they only deal with one piece. The other thing that we've gone ahead and done with RTC is, for those of you that have dealt with RTC in the past, we don't necessarily have a server license anymore. As we call it, the server license is actually included with the product. So all that is when you download the server off of Jazz.net or from PasswordVantage, you can deploy the server and the server gets active. The way you start using the product is when you start implementing or start using the product. So you have to actually install client licenses, which could be the 10 free versions, free users that we provide off of Jazz.net, or the additional licenses that customers purchase through PasswordVantage. And it can run on any variant, so System Z, System I, Windows, Linux, Unix, you name it, and for any purpose. All right, and you can also move servers between platforms without any fees. And the reason why we did this was because we realized that customers wanted to go ahead and pilot or rather have a test environment in their organization. And they didn't necessarily want to spend additional dollars in paying for another server license. And it just kind of made this whole thing very cumbersome. So that's one of the reasons why so a customer can install as many servers as they want, but the way they would have to actually work with those is they would actually install user licenses to make it work. All right? And you can actually, you're now more flexible in the kind of topology you want to go ahead and deploy when consuming Team Concert or any of the Jazz products in general. So from a Team Concert standpoint, we also realized that there are, you know, we started off with just two types of licenses, contributor and developer. But based on feedback that we got from customers, we realized that there were different variances of customers and the kind of usage they wanted to go have. So we introduced the stakeholder license, which is a very minimalistic one. This is the one that allows you to essentially collaborate with the larger team. So you can see project status, you know, work with work items, and look at reports. If you now want to, comment on or modify project plans or modify work items and such, or rather, you know, modify reports and all those capabilities, then for that matter, you need to actually have a contributor license and also do things like agile planning. Now, the other piece is back in the day when RTC Express was out there, we had something called as a 50-user license. We've now gotten rid of that, and we've now got something called as developer work groups. This is an authorized user license package, and it's, again, 50 users, and it's only authorized. It is not available in floating. So if a group of 50 developers want to get up and running, they can go ahead and use that capability, the capability for developers, for work groups, for those 50 users in general. Then subsequently, we have the full-blown developer license and then the developer license for IBM Enterprise platforms. And both these come into some what we've added new besides floating licenses that was available in RTC 2.0, and this is because flexibility in the foundation is token licensing. And what exactly token licensing means is in the subsequent slide. What that basically means is the customer essentially buys a set of tokens, let's say 100 tokens. And, you know, we agree that every time they use up a license of Team Concert that they're using up 5 tokens. So in this case, when they're dealing, when they've got 100 tokens there, they can technically have, 20 users working with those 100 tokens. They realize subsequently later down the line that out of those 20 users, 5 users actually need to be using RQM. So they can still use the, they can use 15 users can actually go ahead and keep on using RTC for the 5 tokens. But let's say RQM uses only 2 tokens per user. Now they have the additional tokens left in their environment to go ahead and support their RQM users. So there's that flexibility that they have to offer. Now, there are certain uniqueness and term details around how to do token licensing because it is for a fixed term, and they can go and renew the allocation of those tokens subsequently after the term expires. But that gives them that level of flexibility around what we've done with token licensing specifically. And again, It gives them flexibility on on-demand pricing, so be able to go ahead and provide some kind of rental model for customers who only want to use it to minimize their initial adoption cost, and such and such. All right. So I've already spoken about tokens in general. So let's talk about any questions on licensing so far. All right. Moving on. So. Let's talk about some of the things that are now uniquely within RTC. Before we get down to this route, one of the things I want to also mention is, unlike in the past, where you had to install, when you installed RTC or Jazz Team Server, it all had to be on the same server. In RTC 3.0, we've done something unique. You can now separate the Jazz Team Server installation from the RTC app installation. And the reason behind this is as we get closer and closer to CLM 3.0, we realize that JTS is going to be the unifying factor to make sure that we have common user administration and those capabilities that span across not just RTC, but even RQM, RRC, or even an RTC environment, you can actually have multiple RTC servers using contact with the same JTS to manage user credentials. So there's one big change that's now been added in RTC 3.0 thanks to Jazz Foundation, that we can now provide a common user administration type capability because of this logical separation that we've provided. Okay. Now we'll get into RTC 3.0. So let's focus on things like what we've done or new features that we've gotten in 3.0. The one big change that we've now added in RTC 3.0 is primarily around planning. And this is because we've gotten a lot of feedback from customers saying, you know, there are some companies where, like Danske Bank, where we have situations where customers need to have both agile projects and waterfall projects as well. How can we coexist? We want to have the same level of transparency, but there are certain projects that are very relevant for us to go ahead and have in waterfall and some that are really important from an agile standpoint. And plus, we have reams and reams of Microsoft project plans. How can we bring that into Team Concert? Now, in 3.0, we've now got a planning engine that supports both Agile and what we call as formal project, which is analogous to a waterfall methodology. And the reason why we call it formal is because there's a certain level of formality, one, but you can also configure waterfall based on how you implement waterfall within your organization. And there are teams within the waterfall organizations that kind of like to flirt, if you will, with Agile. and it gives them that level of flexibility with this template. So basically, you could technically have this kind of situation where in which you could have one project called Project A that is purely Scrum-based. You could have another project that is using an iterative development model, and the third one being Waterfall, and these individuals are actually able to see and share information back and forth from the various different projects in this context. So the project management template, the process is still created. The template is created the same way like you would do when you would instantiate Scrum. And again, you can specify different timelines, you already have some predefined work item types like defect, change request, risk action, risk, and such and such. And risk and risk action essentially help project managers to identify certain set of tasks and weight them based on the risk they add to the actual overall deliverable. And what we've added now, at least from a PM standpoint, is seeing these activities in a Gantt chart format. So this allows people to at least see the kind of relationships we have between these various activities and potentially how the high-risk items, again, in this case, you can see the high-risk items are ones that are flagged in red. And so now you have this capability, so users that were used to seeing project plans in a Gantt chart format can now see that within Rational Team Concert. At the same time, if the same team wants to look at the Gantt chart context, but from an Agile Scrum perspective, you can do that as well. And you can also now add value to your existing Scrum teams. Now, that doesn't mean that we've gotten rid of our task boards and things like that. Those are still there, but now we've just added more flexibility to kind of bridge the gap between traditional project management office type folks and the actual development team. The other thing we've now also done is added things called as resource allocation and scheduling. So you can now search and add a resource to your plan based on availability. So if there's one person that's now coming off of their main development project and they're now available, you can now go ahead and add them to your team and then make them part of the overall team to go ahead and deliver as and when appropriate. The other thing that we've also now added is being able to create something called a project snapshot. So as we know, project plans, like everything else in software development, change based on timelines, commitments, and such and such. And you can take snapshots of these project plans and then later on compare them with each other and say, okay, how much have I diverged from my original plan, and kind of do an assessment of whether or not we're on track or not. Again, bringing in more transparency, not only just to one constituent, but to the entire development team in the context of what we've done with Rational Team Concert 3.0. Any questions so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you could go back 2 slides ago to the search resources.
Yes.
When you're searching for resources, what are you searching against?
Well, I mean, you're searching against members in your user database or members that are part of the team in general. So you can go ahead and say, okay, such as if the user's gone ahead and put a profile in saying Ace Java developer, all right, and they've been tagged like that, you can actually search on those tags and actually get those kind of people. And if you think they're available and they need to be part of your team, you can bring them in or across even other project areas if need be.
Okay. Okay, but these resources, these team members, can you bring them in through your LDAP?
Well, they would already be in through your LDAP.
Okay.
All right. If you have them locally defined, you could do that too. But ideally, you would have these users in your defined already in your LDAP that you're going to bring into the project.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I have one question.
Yep.
How well it is integrated with Microsoft Project Plan?
Well, you can go ahead, so you can create stuff in Microsoft Project, export the project plan in XML, and then suck it into Rational Team Concert.
So I can only export as an XML, not as an export as in CSV or export as an MPP?
No, export as an XML is the one that we support.
Okay, to get into from Microsoft Project into RTC, again, that is through XML?
Yes.
Okay. So if I expect a project PMO office to handle, they won't be able to know the XML format, so that won't be of use. Is there any...
No, so what would happen is you would basically go back into Microsoft Project and suck in the XML, and now you'll see the updated Gantt chart.
Okay. So is there a specific format in Microsoft Project it accepts, or the XML is, however the format is, the XML will feed the RTC?
So when we you'll see the format that Microsoft Project exports when it comes in XML. We use the exact same format in XML to export back into Microsoft Project.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
One of those dashboards or those reports you were showing us in the last screen or so.
Mm-hmm.
Are those out of the box?
Pardon?
Are those out of the box?
Yes.
And you can customize them, right?
Yes, you can.
And what are they written in, or what tool is the reporting?
So there are still elements of reporting within Team Consul that leverage BERT.
Okay.
Okay. But a lot of, like, for example, the task boards and the actual work item editors, the Gantt charts, and all that stuff. These are actually active. They're written in using Dojo JavaScript.
Oh, okay.
All right. So these are active. You can drag and drop and stick them and do that kind of work there.
Okay, but you would need to know Dojo JavaScript, right?
Well, as far as RTC is concerned, you're just dragging and dropping from a user experience standpoint. You're not necessarily. You don't have to actually customize stuff from that context. The only customization that you have to go do is essentially at the process template level perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just essentially, you know, drag and drop, which is why we're using Dojo and JavaScript.
And one more question, I'll let you go. Those reports, the data that those reports are based on, those dashboards are based on, I was asked this by a customer yesterday.
Right.
Those reports, the data that those reports are based on is work items, right?
Work items, any, so basically the work items are the crux for everything. So all that information is, you know, it's being pulled in from the data warehouse inside Team Consul, and then presented using, so the two things. One, the reports that we show on the dashboards, which are essentially BERT-based.
Yep.
Okay. The screenshots that I showed you primarily for project planning, these are JavaScript Dojo user interfaces.
Right.
Okay.
But the data that it's generating from is consolidating and what have you. The data is the work items that you have in there.
That's correct.
Okay, good. So, for example, RQM, which is test defects and all that other stuff, we wouldn't be able to see that on your report until they come into RTC as work items, right?
Sorry, you were cutting in and out, so I only got a few words there.
In other words, we're only reporting against RTC work items, not some of the other tools like RQM.
No, as of this point, only RTC work items. When CLM 3.0 comes out, we'll actually have more cross-product reporting capability, because we'll actually have a common reporting engine available around that at that time.
I'm sorry, did you say CLM 3.0?
Yeah, CLM 3.0, which is coming out later.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. So all cross-product reporting kind of capabilities will happen around the June timeframe.
Is that out? Can we get more information about that now, though, on that?
Well, we have. So if you guys are hooked up into jazz.net and subscribe to the ComDev email list, we just came out with M13 for CLM 3.0 with all three products. We're a week away from M14.
All right.
So you can always go and download the milestone bills and see how the whole thing fans out.
Okay. Thanks very much.
No problems. And just from a task board perspective, we can now use that on the iPad as well, and you can use your fingers to kind of drag and drop tasks from various stages. Also, again, that's one cool feature that we've just added in RTC 3.0. So from a work item customization perspective, we've now added some additional capabilities from a customization standpoint. One of the things is we can now validate data entries with regular expression ranges and also create things like dependent choice lists. So, for example, I want to say that whenever someone selects Microsoft Windows as a platform, browser options should be Firefox, Internet Explorer, Chrome, but not Safari. Right? But when they select an OS X as a platform, then only Firefox, Safari, and Chrome should show up, not Internet Explorer. So you can actually create those kind of dependent choice lists, and again, in a more UI-friendly way, and you can customize this using just the web UI. You don't actually need to use Eclipse Client in this context. We now also have enhanced access control, so you can create things like read access for work items, and you can, you know, that could be for basically instead of and for specific set of work items, not just all or nothing kind of situations. So again, depending on the individual's access, you'd be able to restrict who can see what kind of content, where, and how. And again, that's additional security control that we've added in RTC 3.0. Now, for a lot of the U.S. federal government requirements, there's now this requirement for smart card authentication, and we've now added those capabilities within Rational Team Constant 3.0 and even on the CLI, and at the same time, even at the Jazz Build Engine level as well. So you could actually invoke the smart card authentication pieces at these different levels when configured in such environments. The other thing that you can also go ahead and do is if you've gone ahead and configured a project area with a particular process, you can now share that, something called create a master project area, and share the project area's process with other project areas, or use processes from other project areas. So you can actually author a process in one particular project area and say, this is something that needs to be updated with other project areas that are getting created based on changes that I've gone ahead and done here. And so that allows sharing of the same process configurations across multiple project areas if needed. Any questions on those capabilities so far?
So you mean to say that in case if any RTC project does some customization on their process, and those can be used by any other project also, right?
Yes.
But when we click that, use the process from another project area, what will be the name, how they can select? They need to, because, for example, when I create multiple RTC project using Scrum,
mm-hmm.
The name of the process will be Scrum. On top of that, I'll do the customization, but I won't change the name of the Scrum.
If you change the name of the Scrum, you can essentially select the version that you've changed of the Scrum process, and then instantiate that into the project area itself.
No, I'm not getting. So I never changed the name of the.
That's fine. But the thing is, what I'm saying is the most latest changes that you've gone ahead and put on Scrum are the ones that get used.
Okay.
All right. So in this case, and incidentally, even within RTC, it actually you can even go ahead and take snapshots of your project area as well.
Okay.
All right. So in this case, what can essentially happen? Again, if I'm not being very clear, just send me a note offline, and I'll give you the link to where you can get more information around being able to share the information. But essentially, what you're able to go do is create that process in one place, and then if you want to create a new project area, say I want to use the process that's hosted in this particular project area. So whatever version of the Scrum process is being used with the source project area, that's the one that you're going to instantiate into the other project area. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I have to do once practically we have project request from the customer team. We deploy the project and they will request us to do the customization on top of that. So once we are done with the customization, in case if this is enabling us to use the same customization for other project as well, that will be well and good. But I'll drop you a mail and get the details.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right. So the other things that we've also added in 3.0 are capabilities around distributed SCM. We've also enhanced build support and also made some significant improvements on the ZN Power platforms as well. So let's get started with distributed SCM. just I'm not. How many of here know actually know anything about Git and Mercurial or things like that from an SCM standpoint? Before I get into some of the concepts of distributed SCM here, Stephanie, if you guys can just go ahead and raise your hands on the conference thing, and Stephanie, if you can just tell me how many people raised their hands, that'd be great.
What is the question again?
So how many of you folks are aware of distributed SCM concepts?
You mentioned something about Mercurial or something.
Mercurial and Git. Those are distributed SCMs in the open source world that are pretty famous. So I'm assuming not a lot of you know about distributed SCM?
I don't see any raised hands.
Okay, perfect. All right, so what distributed SCM essentially means is typically you have one repository, but you also every user that's working with the repository has their own instance locally on their machine of the repository locally, so they can work disconnected. And whenever they connect back, the local instance on their machine, the repository instance on their machine, then synchronizes the changes back to the parent repository. That's essentially what distributed SCM is in a very basic kind of context. So what we've added now...
Clearcase works in this way, right?
Pardon?
Clearcase works in this way,
no,
right?
No, Clearcase is not distributed SCM.
Okay.
Okay? Clearcase, the way Clearcase does stuff is called multi-site. This is not multi-site. Because with multi-site, what actually happens is you have mastership ramifications. With this, you don't. Okay? At the end of the day, what's actually happening is, so, you know, instead of following the model that Git and Mercurial have, we've added a new spin on it. Instead of having every developer kind of create their own database, besides actually having a proxy server type of deployment, you can actually go ahead, for example, dedicate a laptop or a machine somewhere where, you know, maybe the connection is really bizarre or bad. You can go ahead and create a repository instance on that particular machine, have other developers connect or work with that repo instance, and then check in, check out their chain sets and such, and then that repository then synchronizes back to the master repository. And this is not like multi-site packets that go back and forth. It's essentially a transaction that moves back and forth, which is, again, atomic of nature, that updates the parent repo.
Okay. Is this correctly, if I put this together, is it between two JTS instances?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So not JTS, sorry, RTC instances.
RTC instances. Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So essentially what you're doing is essentially creating an RTC distributed repo on a machine and then basically having them sync back and forth. And you can also allocate them. You can turn this feature on the server side and then change that. You know, when on the web UI, you can actually enable distributed SCM property. And the way you can allocate or change, information is just going through the flow browser and change your flows accordingly, just like you would do with workspaces. So from an end user standpoint, it just kind of looks like from a workspace standpoint, but all it is, you know, we try to obfuscate the back end to kind of not make it look like Mercurial, because if every user has their own local repo, there are some licensing ramifications that we could run into. We didn't want, you know, and we didn't want to complicate the licensing more than it usually is. All right. We've also gone ahead and enhanced our BuildForge integration. So unlike in the past where you had to go and write some custom Jazz Berlin jobs, now you have a rational BuildForge piece, and it's actually a little bit more robust from an integration standpoint. And you can also now get the updates from the BuildForge piece back into the build record in Team Concert as well. So you have that level of capability and that deep integration available as well. For our Z and Power customers, and specifically for Z, we now actually have an ISPF client for Rational Team Concert, all right, specifically to support SCM. We can also go ahead and do impact analysis based on the way builds are set up on the Z platform and on the Power platforms, and we can also do dependency-based builds as well. And these are, again, features that were essentially part of Rational Team Concept for Z and I in 2X that are now available as part of RTC 3L.
Okay, I have a question on the deployment support for I.
Yep.
can this be deployed for about 50 instances on the fly with an AI system?
What do you mean deploy the 50 instances on the fly?
Like if I have an instance of a binary file, and then if I have to go in and then deploy for another 50 different locations, will this AI system support the deployment?
So walk me through the scenario again. You have the binaries to install a server, and you want to deploy the server 50 instance times?
Correct.
So the so why would you want to do that? I guess I'd like to understand that.
Say, for example, I have about 100 systems, and then I'm piloting for 10, and then everything is successful, and I'm ready to roll out for the next 90.
Okay, so are your developers working natively on the AI systems?
Yeah, they are working on AI system through another source control system called Alden, which supports this feature.
Okay.
So now we have a constraint to move into RTC because RTC doesn't support that feature.
Send me a note separately. I might have to get back to you. My power knowledge is very limited.
Sure. Okay.
I have a question.
Yep.
Are we using the raised hands to ask questions?
No, just go ahead and chime in.
Just go ahead and interrupt. Okay. The question I had was back to your BuildForge thing, integration thing. You said there were three alternatives there. Does the BuildForge, does the BuildForge and BuildAgents, do those come with RTC out of the box? Or do
yes, they do. They come out of the box.
So why would we want to choose Dev Build Engine when you have BuildForge in there?
Well, so if customers want to integrate with Hudson, Maven, and those kind of environments, or AntHill Pro, they at least still, the Jazz Build Engine allows them to plug in those environments as well.
You'd use the Jazz Build Engine to connect to other types of
We have an article on jazz.net that kind of delineates how to do this step-by-step with integration with Hudson and Maven.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. So...
Yep.
Now let's look at Microsoft, what we're doing in the Microsoft world, and also some of the other integrations that we've added. So with the Microsoft Visual Studio ID, there's, again, more parity with the capabilities with what we provide for Eclipse. So we now have Team Advisor support. So those of you that dealt with the Visual Studio ID in the past, the Process Advisor would never show up if you, let's say, forgot to associate a comment or a work item with your change set. Now we have that available. You can also now see the version tree, if you will, on the chainset delivery just within the Visual Studio IDE instead of depending on Eclipse. The other thing that we've also done is because a lot of the Visual Studio developers use something called as FXComp for doing static analysis, we can also now create there are some pre-built rules within your Process Advisor that you can enable for your Visual Studio development environment that enforce that before you check in your changes that you run FXComp in your Visual Studio development environment. The other key piece that we've also now gone ahead and added is you can see the annotated view, which was again which is available in Eclipse but not in Visual Studio, is now again available in the Visual Studio IDE. So again, if you were looking at it from a parity standpoint, we're essentially toe to toe with what we provide in Eclipse is now available in the Visual Studio IDE from a developer perspective. The other solution that we've also added is the Jazz Build Engine flexibility for Visual Studio. So you can now invoke MS Build or DevEnv using the pre-built MS Visual Studio templates that are there. You can also run post-build unit testing, just like in the Eclipse world or the Java world where we run JUnit. You can run NUnit and MS Test to go ahead and run tests against your actual compilations. And you can also go ahead and put the information from these tools and log them into your actual build results in Rational Team Concert. So one of the other pieces that we've been talking about OSLC and Open Services Lifecycle Collaboration specifically. We're now leveraging that infrastructure to go, better, if you will, the integrations between our respective products. So one of the first key capabilities that we've now added is using DOORS 9.3, where you can now get rich hover information when you link changes and requirements back into with work items and team concerts. So you can just hover over a requirement on Doors and actually see the associated, I think it's Doors web, where you can then see the associated work item that's associated with that particular work item on, excuse me, on Doors. Now, same thing with ClearCase and ClearQuest bridges. So we've now got base ClearCase dynamic view support with the bridge, which wasn't the case earlier with the ClearCase bridge because it only supported snapshot views. Now, this allows essentially ClearCase users who are using ClearCase changes to associate the file changes that they go ahead and do in even base ClearCase or non-UCM environments to associate work items that are stored inside Rational Team Concert. And again, from a ClearQuest perspective, we've enhanced the OSLC bridge to support with rich hover support. So you can, what you can now do is link RTC SCM change sets with work items in Rational ClearQuest tasks. So you can actually go ahead and do that as well and bring that level of flexibility in your development environment.
Well, these are not the same as connectors.
Pardon me?
These bridges are not the same as...
No, they're not. Connectors are essentially synchronizers, which essentially encourage redundant data. Here, the data is only at one source, which is one of the benefits of OSLC. We don't duplicate data across multiple systems.
Okay, so go back to your slide then. So what is that source then? Where does the data rely?
So in this case, if it's a ClearQuest task, it resides in ClearQuest. If it's a ClearCase version, it resides in ClearCase.
Okay,
and
so
if a work item is in RTC, you will reside in RTC. So if you associate a ClearCase file that you check in, a version of file that you check in, and you want to associate that with a work item in RTC, you can do that without actually having to copy RTC work items into a ClearQuest environment and then linking that to a version of ClearCase. Does that make sense?
No. So I have a ClearQuest task, as in your example.
Yep.
The bridge kind of creates a work item in RTC.
No, it doesn't.
What does it do then?
So because it's using OSLC, when you have a chain set in Team Concert,
mm-hmm.
it links the chain set, your SCM artifacts in RTC, directly with the link in the ClearQuest work item.
Okay.
So it's not doing redundant data. The data resides only in ClearQuest. Because it's actually using OSLC, I can link to that information and link the SCM artifact directly to a task inside ClearQuest. I can also link the same chain set with a separate RTC work item that's inside RTC, but I can now do that because it's all OSLC based.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So the next piece here is we've also kind of enhanced our dashboarding capability, and again, this is thanks to the work that was done in Jazz Foundation. We've now got open social gadget support. So you know, if you go to iGoogle, your web page, you can now pick up widgets from there and stick onto your web page. You can now even do that with your Jazz dashboard widgets. So take certain widgets off of your Jazz dashboard, and if you want to stick it into your iGoogle web page, you can do that. Take your Gmail widget from your iGoogle and stick it into your RTC dashboard, and so that you can, you know, while you're doing your work, you can also see your Gmail updates coming in back and forth that way as well. Now, RTC also, besides open social support, RTC has also supported iWidget. iWidget is the Lotus specification for widget sharing, but open social is the more predominant solution out there in the web world, which is why we're now conforming to that. So here's an example out of Eric Gamma's dashboard, personal dashboard, where he's got his Remember the Milk application widget stuck on his RTC dashboard. So he can now look at, you know, his grocery list or whatever, the task activities that he's got to focus on that he hosts on the Remember Milk web server and sticks that onto his widget here on his dashboard, as it were. Any questions about this so far?
You said the open social is the most popular one.
Yes.
And that's not who owns that? Google.
Pardon?
Who owns that? Google.
Google's been pushing that standard, and it's, as I said, it's now become the de facto standard of the web.
Open social. Okay.
Yep. All right. So here's an example on your iGoogle web page where you can take a widget from Rational Team content and stick it onto your iGoogle webpage or to your Gmail.
Wow. That's neat.
Okay. So basically everything that I've kind of talked to you, I've kind of showed you guys stuff around the capabilities of Rational Team Content 3.0. And the reason why I kind of, did not separate Jazz Foundation 3.0 stuff and RTC 3.0 is because a lot of the Foundation 3.0 work has enabled capabilities within RTC 3.0. So, for example, the open social gadgeting is primarily driven by the Jazz Foundation, which is available through RTC 3.0. So the foundation in and of itself doesn't have any UI components that actually expose that, but RTC 3.0, through that capability, allows itself to share information back and forth. So if I were to look at what RTC 3.0 has done specifically, we've improved our planning capabilities. We've gone ahead and added flexibility in our processes. We support platform both from a developer standpoint, so whether it's Windows or Java or you're doing COBOL or RPG development, we support those environments. We can even host servers on different environments. And we're delivering on our promise of actually providing open integrations with third-party products, and for that matter, even with our own products, to make things a lot more seamless and not create redundant data. So that's pretty much a quick and dirty, if you will, summary on the capabilities that we've gotten around RTC 3.0. Any more questions?
Hello?
Do you know where we can get those slides?
I will email the slides. Stephanie's got a copy of those, so Stephanie, how can these users get the slides?
These slides, as well as a voice recording of this session, will be posted onto jazz.net as well as DeveloperWorks, so everyone can access it and download it on their own.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, can a component be deleted in RTC 3.0?
Pardon?
Can a component be deleted?
No, we haven't added that capability yet.
So since that's a problem, when you create a component, you cannot delete it.
Well, that's a known feature. It's just that we will add that subsequently on the next major, potentially the next major release for RTC. Right now, we're still focused on getting CLM 3.0 out.
How well is the CLM 3.0 and RTC 3 in your lab comes up? Like, what is the integration level with the, especially with the legacy tools like RecPro and ClearQuest?
Well, with RecPro and ClearQuest, we're leveraging OSLC integrations.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you'll see more of those things coming up very soon. Now, with CLM 3.0 specifically, we call them the three amigos, but the three amigos that actually kind of make CLM 3.0 are Rational Requirements Composer, Rational Quality Manager, and Rational Team Content. So that's essentially what's going to happen. And Rational Requirements Composer will potentially have some, it has some very basic RM requirements management capabilities as well.
Okay, but if I have RTC, RQM, and RecPro, does CLM 3.0 support that?
So you have integration. So with RQM and if you have RecPro, we have integrations available with RQM and RecPro.
Right.
All right. I don't believe, and let me get back to you on that one, but I don't think RecPro actually has an OSLC provider right now, but that could be changing because we focus more on getting the Doors integration through OSLC done.
Okay.
But let me get back to you on the RecPro OSLC interface if we have any.
Thank you.
Okay. One more thing. When can we expect that a single project area created on RTC it can be moved from one server to another server?
So,
like in ClearQuest, we can move one walk to another, a walk from one server to another server.
Well, you can move. So you can move if there are two things. You can move the entire repo from one server to another server without a problem, but you're talking specifically about moving a project area from one server to the other?
Yeah.
So that's again a known feature. We haven't added that for the time being. But that's, again, that's something that we do plan to add subsequently in the future release. So as of right now, it's not there, but we do plan to add it sometime later. That's, again, a very popular feature that people have been asking us.
Yeah. When CLM 3.0 gets released, during that time, we can migrate RTC 3.0 projects to that CLM 3.0.
Yeah. So RTC version for CLM 3.0 will be 3.01. So there aren't going to be any significant changes such. But what will actually essentially happen is we'll actually be able to add additional data tables on the server level. But the migration effort is very simple. It's not as difficult as going from 2x to 3x.
Okay.
And regarding the SCM, what kind of enhancement, especially RTC 3.0 with reference to the 2.0, is there other than the distributed CM?
There's, as I said, predominantly distributed SCM that we've added.
Okay.
And again, you know, enterprise build supports, and again, customization of processes. That's pretty much, from an SCM standpoint, what we've gone ahead and added so far. And I mean, there are more articles there on jazz.net. If you go to look at new and noteworthy on jazz.net,
mm-hmm.
You'll see some additional SCM SCM features that have been listed there as well.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to understand the implication of not having a connector for or OSLC whatever to Requisite Pro. What does that mean?
So,
I have a client that for now is not going to be using RRC.
Mm-hmm.
They have their existing they have many, you know, Rec Pro projects that we need to migrate into the new platform.
Right. So well,
and also upgrade to version something.
So as I said, from a Rec Pro standpoint, I have to go. It's just for me to go and to kind of figure out what the OSL, if there's an OSLC interface for Rec Pro or not. I'm not aware of it. So let me get back to you on that one. But basically, what that means is once you have an OSLC provider for Rec Pro, just like the way you could link, let's say RTC chain sets to a ClearQuest task without necessarily having to copy it into Team Concert, you can then go ahead and link RTC or RQM work items directly with requirements that are stored in Rec Pro.
Okay, but again, I'm still trying to understand. To me, that sounds like duplicate data.
No, it isn't. It is. So the data, again, here's what it is. It's data at one source. What you're doing is the data is exposed as a URI. And what you're doing is you're linking
so
to that URI.
Okay, so hold on. In Rec Pro,
mm-hmm.
we have we have objects. We have requirements. We have requirement types. We have document and document types, right?
Yeah, but the requirement types and document types are basically the way Rec Pro defines these internally within, to manage requirements, right?
That's right.
The way requirements are stored in Rec Pro is if we provide an OSLC interface saying, listen, these are the key attributes of how a requirement gets exposed. And let's say, you know, you have a requirement saying system shall do this,
right?
And it's a use case requirement type, and the way Rec Pro exposes that is using a URI saying this is how I would expose a use case URI.
Huh?
All right? And I have a third party, you know, and if I want to, my work item task inside Team Concert or RQM are exposed as work item URIs. All I'm doing is just like the way you would navigate web pages. Let me give you a very simple example of what OSLC I'm talking about. For example, there's a video on YouTube. Do you download, if you want to reference that video on YouTube on your blog page, do you download that video onto your machine and upload it onto your blog page? No. You get an embed link from YouTube that you stick onto your blog page, and somebody that goes and visits your blog page presses play on the video, and the video starts playing.
Well, that URI thing you just mentioned, that's a descriptor.
Exactly.
Continue.
So basically, what it's doing is you're essentially linking to those objects, and they remain stationary in the data source that hosts them in the first place, and that's pretty much it. And you can create backlinks in the respective systems.
So I think what you're saying is you're not really creating work items in RTC.
No.
This case, you are describing the requirements out there using descriptors, right?
Yeah.
The data still resides in RecPro. You just have some sort of a linking.
Exactly.
But you still, but in RTC, though, when you go to RTC, you are looking at work items, though, right?
Yes. So for example, here's an example. Let's say there's a situation where I want to say, I want to know what work items address this particular requirement. Okay? How do you establish traceability with that? Okay, so in this case, you can actually link either RTC work items directly with a requirement. And so instead of copying the entire requirement into RTC and creating a hierarchy of work items, you can now just link directly back, you know, to the actual machine, to the actual system that stores a requirement, and have backlinks created because they're not exposed as URIs. All right. Same thing. You can actually even take it down to the level when I talked about integrating the RTC SCM pieces to ClearQuest tasks. You don't have to actually cut and paste or copy the ClearQuest task into an RTC work item and then link the SCM task directly there. You can just say, this SCM task, please link it with this particular URI or this OSLC provider in ClearQuest and link it together.
Okay, so I would like to see more information on this or demonstrations on this concept, particularly the RecPro to RTC.
Well, so as I said, I don't know about the RecPro piece as of yet, but you know, we can obviously set something up for... we can obviously set something up for whatchamacallit, for Doors or ClearQuest. But you, and if you want more information on OSLC, there's a website called open-services.net.
Is that something, Stephanie, you're gathering?
Pardon?
Okay.
Yeah. So open-services.net. You've got all the specifications on how we we're exposing, requirements artifacts. There's a requirements management spec that's there. There's a change management spec that's there, to which both the ClearQuest bridge and the requirements management bridge that we've got with Doors, the way they expose the attributes and how they link with each other, and all the concepts are actually explained there a little bit better. Stephanie, do we actually have an OSLC session in the open mic this sessions?
No, but if there is a lot of customers interested, then we can definitely set one up.
Yep.
Okay. Well, so can you send that link to us, please, through the chat, that URL?
Yeah, I'll send it.
Okay. All right.
I'm not getting, we have RecPro, we want to move it to the Jazz platform. I'm not yet understanding how to link those two environments. But yeah, I'll look at the website.
Yep.
Okay, does anyone else have any last questions for Kartik?
I have one question. For the work item, even after resolving it, why does RTC allow the developers to deliver through that same work item?
Well, so there are a couple of things. I mean, if your process actually allows for that, then yeah, that will happen. You can actually go ahead and modify a process template to stop that from happening.
I tried it, but it's not happening. Even if I put in the process template not to allow a resolve work item to deliver,
mm-hmm.
even then the developers were able to deliver it.
Okay. Have you raised a PMR on it?
I haven't.
Okay. Then I would suggest that you do that.
Okay.
Okay, if you have any additional feedback or questions regarding this session, feel free to post on the Jazz.net forum, and I'll make sure I see those posts. Before we conclude this session, I would like for you to stay on the line as the operator of this call will ask for your feedback regarding how useful this session was. Operator, can you please do this now?
Thank you. At this time, we are ready to begin the polling session. There will be one question. After the question is read, please respond by pressing star followed by the appropriate digit on your phone. You will hear a tone upon making your selection. Our question was this session useful? Press star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, star 3 for somewhat useful. Once again, was this session useful? Star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, star 3 for somewhat useful.
Okay, thank you, everyone. This concludes the session for today, and I would like to thank once again Kartik for joining us, as well as you all for participating. Join us next week when we will discuss the upgrade process from RTC 2.x to 3.0 with guest speaker Richie Satcher. Thanks, everyone.